old-time Christian singer, used a phrase that he thought summed up what Christ can do in a person's life. He sang the song, Ordinary Folks, Extraordinary Love. Put that on your billfold and next to your picture. Ordinary Folks, Extraordinary Love, something the Lord can do when we receive Him. This is how we know what love is, says 1 John 3:16. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and so we lay down our lives for one another. Okay, God given us a lot of love through Jesus. We passing on as much love as possible in the way we act and behave around people. Jesus said this about His mission. It's a good thing for us to remember. I have come to give my life a ransom for many. Somebody in our place, somebody would set us free from sin, death, and hell. And He said He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And again, that's a great truth from Jesus to put on our soul. Didn't come to be served, but to serve. Something you could say when you go to work on Monday. Okay, I'm here at work. Not to be served, but to serve. Things will go better at work if you do that. You go in your household, okay? You do more than put your foot up on the chair and say, somebody bring me A, B, or C. You're not there to be served, but to serve. You go to church, okay? You go to church not to be served, but to serve. Revolutionary idea, but it's a Jesus idea. It's a good thing. It puts wheels on your faith. And so everything about Jesus showed His extraordinary love. He rises from the dead for us. He gives us a relationship with Himself. And when you think about how extraordinary it was, from God's heaven to a manger, from the King of Kings to a very humble life, taking the form of a servant, that's like extraordinary. Who would do that? Going to Bethlehem as an unborn child on a donkey. It was a rough road for Mary and Joseph. I'm sure it was a rough road for Jesus. He was bumped around a bit before he was born on that donkey. Going into Jerusalem on another donkey to give His life for the sins of the world on Palm Sunday. So a lot of extraordinary love coming from the Lord. Other true examples of this kind of great love that Jesus shows. Touches people with the disease of leprosy. I don't know what the parallel of that for us would be today. The emotional impact, for example, of cancer sometimes takes a person from hope and from basic health. But God comes, touches that person, sustains them. And extraordinary love of Jesus coming through God's people to others. Reaches out to the sinful rich. Jesus did. Okay, those who had a lot, he said, hey, you need me. Zacchaeus, Matthew the tax collector, those folks. Reaches out to the sinful poor. Extraordinary love. Some people had nothing. Jesus cared about them. Passing on food to the 5,000 who needed it. Recruited people to walk in His ways even in that miracle. He tells His disciples, a lot of people out there, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. And then they say, oh, we need to work with you, Jesus, if that's going to happen. He does the miracle for them. Washes people's feet, has compassion on the troubled city of Jerusalem. Extraordinary love. Weeps for the city in trouble. Deeply moved by two sisters who lost their brother. Extraordinary love. Compassion of Jesus poured into your heart and my heart when we receive Him. Okay, with Jesus comes His love. So we're thankful for that. It's a great adventure. It's a lot of responsibility. John Stott, a really good preacher, when he looked at that passage in 1 John 3, second half, he said it shows that God's love characterizes God's people. God's love characterizes God's people and is an evidence of eternal life. Okay, so the evidence of that you're born again is God's love working through you to others. Not in words, or in what we say. Okay, not in words or what we say, but in actions and in truth. So the love of God is not just a matter of me saying, I love God, I love people, but it's my actions and forthrightness in doing that that will show, hey, God has changed our lives. So this is true, especially when somebody is in need. John happens to, and the Holy Spirit uses the example of if you have something and you see somebody in need, you know, you do something on their behalf. Okay, you don't pass them by. You do something on their behalf. And that shows the extraordinary love of God. One of Jesus' most famous stories about how to pass this love on to others is when he tells about a man taking a trip on the dangerous road to Jericho. And he says, you know, in this story, parable, the man is beat up really bad and left to die on the side of the road. And a clergyman comes by, okay, pastor to the rescue, but not in this case, looks at the person, passes on the other side. Another person who's very familiar with the Bible, frequent worshiper, sees the person, you know, almost dead, down and out, injured. Sees again, passes on the other side. Third person comes along who's a Samaritan. According to Jesus, the Samaritans really didn't understand who God was. They were confused about God. He says about the Samaritans in John 4, he said, the Samaritans, they worship somebody they don't even know. Okay, but this guy, he sees the injured man who's wiped out. He gets off his donkey. He disinfects the man's wounds. He bandages up the man. He takes the man, puts him on his donkey, and he goes to the local Motel 6 or whatever it is, and he says, take care of this man. You know, and I got covered, whatever the cost is. And I'll be back if you have to keep him a long time till he recovers. I'll be back and make sure he's doing okay. And the question is, who's like a neighbor? And Jesus says to his followers, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And in that story, it's a great story of what Jesus did for us. Spiritually, we're like the guy on the side of the road. We are beat up. We can't save ourselves. We're dead or half dead. And somebody has to come to the rescue. That's Jesus. But it's also a practical way to say, I will make my people good Samaritans. Okay, so if you're a Christian and you know the Lord, you're a good Samaritan. You don't know everything about God, but you could do a lot to show His extraordinary love for people. Okay, so the call to be a good Samaritan, something we take on with fear and trembling, and you say, well, boy, I need the Lord's help for this one. So you think of all the good actions that do take place when Christians live out that call. I'm going to use some examples from the Old Testament and New Testament coming up. But the ministry of Samaritan's Purse, for example, whether it's medical or whether it's sharing the good news of Jesus in a message, befriending people, educating people, getting people water, you name it, they're saying, we're going to be the good Samaritan to the people who have nothing. You know, they don't have those resources. And they do it with the love of God, makes an impact forever. So Samaritan's Purse, you're an employee of a Samaritan's Purse, whether you know it or not, because you're a Christian. Okay, you're a good Samaritan who works for a Samaritan's Purse. You can put that on the resume, Samaritan's Purse. And just say, the Bible said so, or something like that. Salvation Army, same kind of ministry. Helping those who really have very little. Here's the Lord, and here's the food, and here's the education, and here's work. So that's a good calling. Light of Life Mission, real similar. Compassion and Mercy Associates, of a bunch of Alliance people saying, we'll go overseas and serve real in areas that don't have. And when we hear those things, we pray for that. We support that. And God says, we are that, where we're at. So again, we're sent like the Good Samaritans. Take that on as an identity, because it's a healthy identity in reality, because of the great love of Christ given to our souls. Here's some 10 Bible verses that would help with some applications. We write these on our soul and say, Lord, help me live like this. And I was talking to somebody before, and this is the kind of sermon. This sermon is impossible to live. It really is. This is the impossible to live sermon. But I'll go with the song Vicky picked out, Not I, But Christ in Me. Okay. So, realistically, we'll take baby steps being a good Samaritan. But we will take those good steps. And I think it's in our hearts to do this. Jesus put it there. So it's almost like the love is inevitable. Huh? Because I've seen you all. You can't help it. You go for it, and you honor God that way. But here's some truth from the Bible that gives us that extraordinary love perspective, first coming from God and then put in our soul when we receive Christ. Way at the beginning, God says this. First of all, who has what? I'm the Lord your God. The land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants. Okay. Now, I've been a tenant, and I've been, according to the bank, a homeowner. Okay. The bank thinks I own the home and they own the home. But God says, no, I own the home. God's right. Okay. The bank has just loaned the home, and I'm just loaned the home. You know, until you go to be with the Lord. So God says, I'm the Lord your God. You might think you have what you have is yours. No, it belongs to God. And you're like the guy crossing the Rio Grande, you know, and who shows up in an apartment. Yeah, that's you and me. Okay. You are but aliens and tenants. And when you're a tenant, it's a humbling thing. You're glad, you know, you need help, you ask for help. You say, boy, I hope that water here's not turned off this month and stuff like that. But the Lord, the real perspective on that, God owns everything, gives us a chance to be a little bit better chance to be a good Samaritan. Oh, he gave me what I have to pass on and bless. Similar message in Leviticus. When you reap the harvest of your land, don't reap to the very edges of your field. Don't just eat everything for yourself or have stuff for yourself. Leave them for the poor and the alien. Again, looking out for the ones who are in need. It's a call of God. He does that. So we do that. It's a characteristic that rubs off on us. And it's one of the great things about these kind of verses. It applies to Christians across the board. This is not a spiritual gift. You know, this is not just, well, the deacons and the deaconesses, they'll do that because they're good at that. The rest of us, I'm good at praying, so I won't do that, you know. It's for all Christians. Being a good Samaritan, like prayer, is for all Christians. So you're looking out for the guy or the gal or the people who have needs. Here's another one. I like this one a lot. Tithes, that is the act of worship giving to God, happen, and some things happen. And so it's so the aliens, the fatherless, the widows may come and eat. Back then, that's how these folks were taken care of. And it really connects worship, which I think is a big deal in our soul, to love in action and in truth. A lot of times I'll go to worship and I say, you know, I really liked worship because I felt close to God. Or God, you know, helped me with this problem. As the old song says, and I felt excited in worship. You know, shivers down my backbone, shaking all over. That's a song from Joe Byer used to sing that. We think, oh, that's what worship's all about, being close to God, isn't it? Yeah. But God says, that's good. But you take your worship to God, and we take it out the door by saying, I'm going to help others. As a part of honoring God, I watch out for folks. And God's teaching us how to do that. Often we rely on other places to jump in there. Probably our biggest Some of you were really good at watching after the fatherless. There are fatherless among us, folks, both emotionally or physically. Parents just are not there. We have more than two dozen widows, I think, in our church, and often we think, you know, God will take care of them, sure, you know. No, it's not easy. But we really don't look out for folk that way as much as we should, but we can, because it's the Good Samaritan heart. For the one who is by themselves and walking a road that's often lonely and painful, yet God sustains them. Some of the most faithful folk are widows. Their hearts are given to God. So God says this, I command you, be open-handed toward your brothers, toward the poor and needy in your land. God's open-handed. So we take on that quality of being open-handed also. Here's a rebuke comparison. God's telling Jerusalem, his people, that when they're not helping others, they look like Sodom. Sodom, a nasty city God had to destroy. He said, this was the sin of your sister, Sodom. Often, when Jerusalem was being out of bounds against God, he said, it's like your sister is Sodom. And they didn't like that, you know. You don't want to go hear somebody say, you're just like your sister Sodom, you know. You'll think, oh, brother, I must be really heading down the wrong path. So he says, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. Unconcerned, they do not help the poor and needy. So it just wasn't a bunch of immorality. God said, that's bad. God said, you're heartless to the folks in need. So take that on. It's a call that Jesus would exemplify. And he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Something happens when you're kind to somebody who needs help physically or spiritually. Tell a quick story just from the perspective of the person who's poor. I know two fellas going through Pittsburgh, and you know, it's not always a safe place, but they see a street person. So they encounter the street person, have a brief conversation, and the street person has nothing. They try to direct them to a shelter and so forth. But he says, can you have anything for me that you could help me with, you know, something? And one Christian gives the guy a dollar, and the other Christian gives the guy 20. And he says to the Christian guy who gives him a dollar, he says, you sure you could afford this? You know, that was pretty rough. But there was something going on there. You know, he's thinking, I can't even get a McDonald's coffee for a dollar. I need $1.06 in there. So, I mean, he knows. He knows that. So there was something not right about, maybe that was the only thing the guy had, you know. But there was something not right about a stingy Christian, that even the, you know, the homeless person who probably didn't know the Lord's thinking, well, this is stupid. What am I going to do with this dollar? Got to wait for the next guy. But kind to the poor, God will work in that. And you go as God leads, but you go with a good Samaritan heart. Okay, you don't make a law like every time you see somebody in trouble, stop and help them. But we are to go and do likewise. And I'll share this. I don't mind helping people who are right there, you know, on the street, need some encouragement. That's okay to do. I'm thankful to be sent there. And I always say, whatever transaction goes on, I always say, and God bless you. And I always say it with sincerity. But you know what happens back? They, 100% of the time, say back to me, and God bless you. And they almost say it with more sincerity than I said it to them. So here's a brokenhearted person who's really barely has the energy to say, God bless you. They are blessing me. I mean, I walk away saying, oh, my word, you know, that's something. When you take on the Good Samaritan mantle, which will be costly, you'll see God working in some manner. You don't do it because you want to feel good, but you want to help. Jesus prioritize that when spiritual destitution was out there, physical destitution. He compared it to a certain man preparing a great banquet. This would be the most fun thing for any Christian or any church to do. The great banquet. I hope we have some someday. You know, we're not just talking like a half of chicken stuffed breast, you know, with some green beans. The great banquet. Here it comes. And the master calls. He says, well, some are not coming, so you got to bring the poor, the crippled, the blind. And someone said, well, that's spiritual. Sure, do that. But Jesus pointed to the ones in the world who didn't have nothing. And he said, my good news are going to go to folks like that. And you might say this is a stretch, but more evidence for this than Jesus living in a regular house at 45, you know, Galilee Street or whatever. He said, hey, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Interesting, in the whole New Testament, we never read, and Jesus went to his house and did this. Not in there. Nothing. He's always with somebody else, you know. And was Jesus homeless during his ministry? Maybe. Be a good thing for scholars to look at. Was he homeless? The one who, you know, created the universe, certainly always at home with the Father. But was he homeless? And does that change the way you look at the homeless? Or you see a homeless person. Oh, I think Jesus was like that. Or at least he said he had no place to lay his head. I don't know. The researchers could do the research on that. And then the kindness shown toward one to another, shown of all people by the Galatians who were getting away from Christ in the gospel, but when it came to their relationship with Paul, Paul said, you welcome me as if I were an angel of God or if I were Christ himself. How wonderful that this is a call of God on our lives. You meet a person you really don't know and you treat him like an angel of God. You'd say, you're like an angel from God, you know. And then, or you treat him like the Lord himself. This is what the Galatians did, and they were a stinky church. They stunk following the Lord. But at least in terms of reaching out to Paul, they said, no, we're gonna treat him really good with the heart of God, with a Samaritan attitude toward them. And in summary, remember the perspective good old James gives. He said, don't just have preference to folks who maybe are like you in terms of resources. Because he says, has not God chosen the poor to be rich in faith? And there's many, many examples of that. And me and you might say, well, we're not poor as far as the world goes physically. But when we stand before God in terms of, do we have anything to bring to Jesus? We certainly are poor in spirit. I mean, we come and we are like the guy who got beat up on the Jericho Road. We can't even help ourselves. We have sin. We can't get it forgiven. We're going to repeat it unless Jesus would come, pick us up, take care of us all the way to heaven. God will choose the poor to be rich in faith. And it's true that folks with a lot of needs sometimes respond more quickly to the Lord, you know, because they have less distractions. And they know the emptiness of life. And so God sends us with an extraordinary love. And I think take on the call from God as from him. See yourself as a good Samaritan. Many of you, this is your lifestyle. You do it fantastically good already. and we all take more baby steps in that direction. You can do that. To me, it's exciting to think every Christian, you know, that God calls to himself, he makes a good Samaritan. Because we hear Jesus saying those good words, go and do likewise. And we're like, okay, here we go. You know, can't help everybody, but Jesus said you can always, the poor is always going to be there, so you can always help them. You always can do it. And you'll be showing the great love of Christ at that time. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for love shown from us all the way from heaven to these poor, sin-filled souls. You made a home with us. Oh my. And then you sent us with this love that we're clumsy with. We hoard. Like other things, Lord, we often neglect. But we don't want to neglect such a great salvation toward ourselves or even showing the love of Christ to others. So you be our wisdom, Lord. We know tendency is to say, well, I'll be a social engineer. I'll change government. I'll change church policy. I'll change, you know, how people take care of others. You know, we could change us. With your spirit could change us to make us the good Samaritan. That's our call at that point. And we'll let the government do or do not do before God what they're called to do. But just fill each life here with great love. We know you'll see to it, it gets passed on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll please stand, we're going to close with Hark the Voice of Jesus.